Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. Mozart's Don Giovanni, the Don Juan story, is one of the great operas in the Western canon. Glorious music, an intricate plot, and a very satisfying ending have attracted audiences since its premiere in 1787.
The Florentine Opera is reprising its 2006 production this weekend with performances on Friday and Sunday. British-Canadian baritone Alexander Dobson sings the role of the Don. South African bass baritone Musa Nukwana sings the role of the servant Leporello. And bass David Lee sings the role of Commendatore. And they join me in the studio now. Gentlemen, welcome to Lake Effect.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks.
I have to say, Don Giovanni is one of my favorite operas. I'm in love with all the Mozart operas, but I particularly love this one because the hero is kind of an anti-hero. He's not a very nice guy, but boy, is he fun. And how do you feel playing him? This is not your first time with this character.
It's not my first time with this character or this opera. I have played also Mazzetto and Leporello. Next will be the Commendatore.
Doing them all.
But he is, like you say, the anti-hero. We want to really like this guy, even though he's deplorable. Everything he does by raping women, by treating his servant with such disrespect, beating him, calling him names constantly. He's not a very nice guy, but we still feel sympathetic towards him. So there is this dichotomy that Mozart did create, well, De Ponte did create.
Well, Mozart did too, I think, with the music, because he's got this gorgeous music to sing. And again, he's just not very nice.
No, he's not.
He's singing about really kind of ugly things.
Yes, but he does it in such a way. He constantly is lying as well. So he has crafted the skill of how to bring people with him on his journeys that he wants to go on, especially women. And his servant Leporello does tell Don Elvira how many women he has been with. I won't give it away, but...
No, it's many. And that is one of the most famous arias that you have to sing, is and that wonderful list aria.
That's the thing about this, because it's supposed to be comedy, so he's making fun of her. But on the other hand, he's tormenting her. You know, it's not nice because he says, you're not the first, you're not the last. Yeah, so you're not that important, just get over yourself. But then how do you say that to someone who's such tormented and yet the music is beautiful and playful? Also, another interesting part about Leporello is also in a dilemma because in the beginning of the opera, he says, I want to be a gentleman, you know. I'm tired of working for him, sleeping badly, eating badly, being treated like this. But then there's this love-hate relationship between the two of them. It's like, why doesn't he leave him? Because he kind of likes that life. So there's something sinister about Leporello too. It's just that if only the Don would treat him better, then they'll be in some kind of an equal footing, even though it's master and servant. Just treat me better, then the two of us will be horrible people, but just treat me better.
I'll be better with it, you know.
And so it's very interesting.
Do you think Leporello wants to be Don Giovanni on some level?
Oh, he does.
Yeah.
I mean, voglio fare gentiluomo. I want to be a gentleman. But gentleman in this case just doesn't mean just gentleman. It means in this context, I want to be a master like him. I want to be a libertine and have money and all that. Leporello is about money. In the second act, when he says, I'm leaving you, I'm done with you. I almost got killed because of you. The Don gives him money. He's like, okay, just this one last time. So Leporello is like so used to this money because I think he may have worked for a number of other people before, but then the kind of money he gets from the Don is so different. Mm. So, you know, this abusive relationship, like women are abused to so hard now to live this life because he's gotten used to it. But it's just that, you know, this guy has so much money. So you're like, even though he abuses me, if I leave him, who else is going to give me this same kind of money? It's very interesting, isn't
it? Right, I bet it is, to try to figure that character out.
And the Don himself, he couldn't live without Leporello. And he calls him his friend. There's a few times where he says, friend, come here. So he does feel that Leporello is his friend and his only friend because he has betrayed so many people, men and women. The only person he does have is Leporello. And if he ever lost Leporello, he would not be the Don.
But yet it's all about money, too. I mean, that as Musa was saying, this relationship, you're paying him to be your friend.
Yes.
Which is really kind of pathetic.
Because he has no one in his life.
Yeah. Right.
And, I mean, Leporello holds all the secrets. You know, but I think Lebrun is now on the verge of leaving him because the killing of the Commendatore. You know, that's you can kill servants all you like or peasants, which he might have done before, or abuse women, but to kill someone of his equal rank, this is new even for Leporel or for other characters like Don Ottavio, who even sings an aria, say, hey, you've done all sorts of things, but to kill your fellow Dons, aristocrats, now you've gone too far.
And well, David, let's bring you in because you are the Commendatore. And so you don't have a lot of time on stage, but what you do have is really intense.
Yeah. Well, and it's some of the most famous music in the history of opera. I mean, it's incredibly iconic music.
And so as you're listening to the, I'm sure you guys have all been talking about this in rehearsal and you've done this before, but do you think he decides he's going to have the revenge?
You mean as he's dying?
Right.
I think there's some question about that. I think for sure as he's dying, I think there's a recognition of what Giovanni has done and a recognition of the righteousness of his anger. And I think that that righteousness manifests 2.5 hours later when he comes back, you know, but I'm not sure that the plan is fully there. You know, there's a lot made by musicologists and whatever, the fact that Giovanni never succeeds in any of his conquests in the course of this, like, 3.5 hour opera, that he's just thwarted time and again. And there's an argument to be made that the Commendatore is sort of thwarting him from beyond the grave. I'm not sure how much I buy into that, but for sure he is trying, you know, I think he has the immediate thought of, if I could do anything to mess with this guy, I would love to.
Well, and that is true. You don't actually succeed.
No.
You are thwarted. But the implication is that you have succeeded many, many times in the past.
Yes. And even as the opera's going, I keep making references to things I've done off stage, but nothing is actually seen on stage.
This is an iconic, it's part of the opera repertoire around the world. Are there ways that you try to embody these characters that are so well known and make them your own?
Well, I think, especially for the Don, it is that struggle of how to make him human. So how to make him, we don't want him to be likable, but as you said at the beginning, he is the anti-hero. So there is that hero aspect. We are, as an audience member, are we rooting for him? Do we want him to succeed? Do we want him to be punished? Like, how do we feel about this person? And portraying that person, how do I want him to be perceived? Do I want him to be likable? Do I want him to be hated? I know there was a production at the Met this year, and they criticized the singer who was playing the Don because he had made him so unlikable. So that
he went too far the other
exactly,
way.
Exactly. So there was no sympathy for him. So it is that tricky balance.
I think it's one of those things where an audience member has to almost like the Don in spite of their own misgivings.
Exactly.
It's like that tension. The audience has to be kind of on like, well, God, he's such a bad person, but I kind of like him.
Mm-hmm. So charming.
Yeah. So charming. And you know, he'd be great to have dinner with.
Yeah.
You know? Do you think Mozart and Da Ponte were trying to keep us on that edge? Does he ever resolve it, do you think? Do we ever know definitively who this guy is by the end?
No, because even at the end, he says he won't give in. He won't give in to the Commendatore. He won't change his ways. That's why he is dragged to hell. He is so stubborn in his choice of his life that he's living that he will not change.
You know, one of the things I've always wondered at the end of the opera, what happens to you? So what happens to Leporello? Does he take over?
No, interesting enough, because I don't think Don has left any money for Leporello or put him in the estate, because this is Eddio Vado all'osteria, a trovare a padron mio. So I'm going to go to the pub, if you like, and find a new master. So that's it for Leporello. You know, it's interesting. He's been getting all this money and all that, but I don't think he's been saving anything. They just like spend and do that. But they've never discussed that, you know. And then one wonders how long they've been together. They might have been together for a long time. Yeah. But it's like all these rappers or pop singers being signed onto record labels, and they get all these big houses and all that. But you only find out at the end of the day when the career just like dwindles down that they didn't own anything. But if they die, you know, before time, and then people have to discuss what went wrong. They're like, what about all the record sales you did? It's like, hey, you didn't own any of those. That was a record company. So I think it's some kind of a similar situation here. Also, Laborato is interesting enough because at the end of the opera, he begs him, he's like, don't take his hand. If it were up to Laborato, the two of us would escape and live another day, right? It might be because he cares for him or partly because he just cares about getting his money because he sees that if this guy dies, then it's over for him. Also, another interesting part about this opera is the first time in opera history where any composer had written for three male voices, low voices, mm-hmm. to sing together at once in the beginning of the opera where each and every person is talking on their own. Whoa, what is this? You know, and it's beautiful music, but each and every person is having their own voices talking about what's actually going on their minds. And then at the end of the opera, when he's being taken to hell, that's just like mind-blowing in terms of opera history. And one wonders what was going on in, you know, Da Ponte's and Mozart's brain. Yeah. I think there's so much to still figure out about this opera, which is not resolved. Also, I mean, the end of the day, when the Don has gone to hell, everyone comes back, Don Ottavio, Anna, and Elvira. They say, well, to the audience, if you behave like him, then you'll go to hell like him. But then, you know, there's a twist which I'm not going to spoil, which you're going to see here. Because at the end of the day, you know, bad men don't actually suffer as they ought to. Maybe in Mozart's time they might have, but I'm not sure.
I'm not sure. I think
then.
He was saying that it might not be. And when we're saying low voices, we're talking baritone, bass, baritone, and bass, right?
Well, the original singers in Prague, where this was commissioned, so they had three basses in the house.
Yeah.
So the Commendatore and Mazzetto were actually sung by the same singer because they're never on the stage at the same time. But our production, they're
obviously, two separate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So these were the singers in the house that he had to write it for. So it's incredible that he chose to use the three low voices, like Musa says, at the beginning and the end.
Is there anything that you would like the audience who's coming to hear you and watch you do this know about your characters or the opera that we haven't already talked about? Is there something that they should be prepared for or look out for or listen for?
Well, I always think, if you're going to see an opera, no matter if it's a new contemporary opera or if it's a classic like this, that you should always listen to it before you go. Just listen to it from the beginning to the end. Then you show up and you have that in you already. You have it in your ear. So opera, because there's so much going on and there are surtitles which are translating what we are singing, but there is so much going on the stage. So if you already have the music inside you and you feel, you recognize that music, then that's one less thing you have to worry about. Then you can just sort of enjoy what is going on. So that's the one thing I would suggest. Just have a nice listen before you come.
In addition to that, do some reading too. And each and every opera always has libretto, but libretto might be too long for you to read. But just read the synopsis of the opera, because it will tell you what happens on the first act, on the second act, or between the scenes. So by the time you see someone getting killed and others, like, yeah, this is what I had read about, and this is what I heard when I listened to it, so that you follow along without being on the dark on what's going on. Mm. And it just makes it worthwhile, because sometimes even I watch, say, a Czech opera that I may not have known about, but if I've read about and listened to it a bit, by the time I watch it, I don't even care about subtitles at times. I feel I can understand what is going on stage. It makes it worthwhile.
And David?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to advocate a ton of homework before going to see an opera. But, you know, I think one of the things to look out for in all of this is there's a sense of adrenaline that I think carries Giovanni the whole opera through. And I think that's part of what makes the end so famous and what makes it work so well is that you kind of love the adrenaline hit that you get every time Giovanni's on stage. And you notice that when he's off stage, you're kind of like, where did some of the action go? You know, there's something that's missing. But you also hate this guy. So you spend the whole time being like, God, I wish I could have this adrenaline without so many like moral quandaries. And then at the end, I think seeing the resolution of that and seeing the way that Mozart deals with that both in the famous finale and then the epilogue also, and seeing the way that he deals with tension, it's just a good thing to keep an eye on. That, you know, when are you actually on the edge of your seat and when are you sort of listening to how beautiful the music is, but kind of have a removed kind of sense of, you know, abstract enjoyment versus like visceral enjoyment.
Like being grabbed and pulled onto the
exactly.
stage kind of thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, gentlemen, I am so looking forward to seeing all three of you on stage, to hearing you, and I can't thank you enough for stopping in this morning.
Well, thank you
for having us.
British-Canadian baritone Alexander Dobson sings the role of the Don. South African bass baritone Musa Ngwana sings the role of the servant Leporello. And the bass David Lee sings the role of Commendatore in the Florentine opera production of Don Giovanni. It's on stage this Friday and Sunday at the Marcus Center's Eline Hall, and you can find more information at wuwm.com.